Let's go over to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Somebody said, well, what's the world? Well, that's really the kingdom of darkness. Satan is the god of this world. Remember the Bible talks about that? Satan's the god of this world. So whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Jesus said you can't overcome, you can't possess a man's goods unless you bind the strong man. Remember that? Well, Jesus is the head of the kingdom of God. God's the kingdom, but Jesus is under God as the head of the kingdom of God. Satan's the head of the kingdom of this world. The world is not just, society out there. It's all that Satan's doing out there and seeks to do in you and my's life through the forces of darkness and so forth. And that includes deception, lies, people not believing the truth, believing lies, and all those things. But here he said, we've got something that overcomes this. I can overcome fear. I can overcome discouragement. Hopelessness, come on, unbelief, bombarding thoughts against my mind, trying to harass me, tell me I'm not going to make it, or I'm going to die, or I'm going to fail, or I won't have the money, or, I'm going to die of a physical disease, whatever. There's a thousand things the devil says. I got something that will overcome all of that. Overcome all of it. Somebody said, Pastor, can I have it? Well, you do. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Actually, it's faith in what Jesus already did, who already conquered all these things. You remember whenever he died, right before he went to the cross, he said in John 16:33, in this world you'll have tribulation, not because you've done anything wrong, but just simply because you're here and the enemy is your adversary. He's arrayed against you. He's opposing you. Right. Somebody said, why does this person keep treating me this way? It's because they're being used by the prince of darkness in the world. And guess what? You have the authority over what's influencing them. You and I don't have authority over the person and their will, but what keeps influencing them to harass you or do whatever they're doing, you have authority over that. But here, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's not that your faith overcomes the world. It taps into the overcoming that Jesus already provided for you. Amen. Hold the enemy, whatever he's saying to your mind, hold him in the arena of faith. Because that's the victory that will overcome. That's the victory. That's what will cause you, the Bible says, to fight the good fight of faith. To fight the good fight of faith means whenever you come up to tests and trials in life, you approach the arena that you fight that fight in. You approach that arena as one that has already overcome because of your faith. Amen. Remember, fight the good fight of faith. Well, you can approach the arena of the good fight of faith two different ways. You can approach the arena. Let's say we have a world champion boxer, and some contender is trying to take his title from him. Whenever they enter that arena, the champion approaches the arena different than the challenger. The champion approaches the arena different than the challenger. How does the champion approach the arena? He approaches the arena as already having something. Oh, I might go ahead and preach this morning. He approaches the arena as already having something. I've already got the victory. Uh-huh. The challenger approaches it trying to get something. All that the champion has to do is defend his title. Defend what he already has. The challenger is trying to get it from him. Keep the devil the one challenge. Keep the devil the one trying. Oh, come on. Wake up this morning. Keep the devil the one trying. You already have it. Keep him as the one trying to get it from you. Stop being the one trying. Keep the devil the one trying. The one trying to get it. Don't approach the word, "I'm trying to get that." Well, the Bible says you already, by his stripes you were. The Bible says over in Colossians chapter 1, he has delivered us from the authority. I'm not trying to get delivered. I already have been delivered. Holding myself in the arena of faith. Faith has present tense ownership.
Yes.
It already has something.
Amen.
Holding myself in that arena, I have already won.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to get anything. It's something I'm believing that I already have. You know, the Bible said, well, somebody said, well, yeah, but we're in the army of the Lord, Pastor. Yeah, the occupation army. Jesus said, occupy till I come. You're not trying to get something. You're just simply maintaining your rights and your privileges that Jesus already got for you. Amen. Amen. There has to be a paradigm shift in your believing and in your thinking that changes. Whenever there's a paradigm shift in your thinking and your believing, it changes everything. I said it changes everything. What you were once trying to get, now you already have. I said, now you already have. Amen. To try to get healed or to try to get free or to try to get victory is something that you, that to have that mindset is indication Satan's already deceived you.
Right.
It's just that simple. I said, it's just that simple. Amen. He is a deceiver, isn't he? The fight of faith is not a fight between God and the devil or sickness and healing or anything like that. It's a fight between truth and lies. Truth and lies. It's a fight between sense knowledge and revelation knowledge. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Whenever I say revelation knowledge, I'm talking about what God has revealed to us in his word and all those things that we are redeemed from already. That's truth now about you. It's not something you're going to get. You're already free, healed, victorious. But you must exercise faith in that you already are. Don't try to get free from the bondage. Just get free from the deception.
That's right. There you go. That's good.
You see what I'm talking about? Free from the lies. Absolutely amazing how whenever I started getting free from the lie that I was poor, how whenever I stopped believing that I instantly started coming up. The same thing is true with mental oppression. The same thing is true with the devil keep telling you you're going to fail.
Come on, Pastor. That's all good.
You know?
Yeah.
The Bible said we always triumph in Christ.
Always.
We always. That's me. That's me. That's who I am. That's who you are. Not you win some, you lose some. No, always. Always triumph. Can you say always? So whenever that paradigm shift happens, you stop trying to get victory and believe you already are victorious. Amen. And you'll rise up and take your rightful place far above. You'll be on top of it rather than trying to get on top of it. Hallelujah. Whenever that paradigm shift happens, the reality of that dawns on you, that's what you call revelation knowledge. You're now revelation knowledge has created that new reality on the inside of you.
Amen.
You know what I mean by new reality? When something's real to you, you're real conscious of it. Well, God's word has to become real to you to where you're more conscious of it than you are of what you see. And when that happens, you're in faith. Because the Amplified says, I'm going real fast here on some things, but the Amplified says in Hebrews 11:1, remember Hebrews 11:1, King James, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Amplified says it has the reality. It's convinced of the reality. Let me quote it to you. I don't know if anybody's here got the Amplified. Let me pull out a copy of the Amplified I have here. It says, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Anybody got the title deed? Yes. Amen. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact right now. Because it starts out by saying now faith is the assurance. Faith, perceiving as real fact right now what is not revealed to the senses. Faith has a reality that the senses doesn't have or do not have. It has the reality of the Word. It's real to you, it's real to me when we're in faith that we are already free. Jesus was made poor that we might rich. That might be rich. That's real to, more real to us than what we see when we open our checkbook. Or look at our balance statement. Hello? That reality, that when that becomes reality and dawns upon your spiritual consciousness, that's called light. The entrance of His Word gives light. This is huge, folks. We're getting back on some things we were preaching on earlier, maybe a month and a half ago, on revelation knowledge. It's huge. Somebody said, well, I don't know if it's that big of a deal. Faith, you can't be in faith without it. You can't be in faith without it. Somebody said, well, what about being saved? You cannot be saved without a revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus said, upon the rock of revelation that He is the Christ, the Son of God, upon that rock is what He would build His church on. He's building His church on born-again people. That's how He's building the church, born-again people. But that experience of revelation going off of who Jesus is not to be a one-time thing. You can find out He's Savior and have that reality dawn on you and believe on Him and receive Him as Savior, but yet not have the reality that He's also healer. That's right. Amen. That He's also deliverer. That He's also my peace. Amen. Hallelujah. And that He's my way to the Father. And that He enables me to come because of His blood. He enables me to come boldly to the throne of grace. There's so much that needs to be reality to us beyond Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's where we get in, by believing He's Savior and Lord. But listen, that's just the first step inside. You just got inside the door when you get saved. When you go home this afternoon, do you step inside that door between your garage and your house and close the door and then just stand there backed up against that door? No, you come on in and enjoy the kitchen, you enjoy the bed, you enjoy the living room. And that's the way God wants us to do. Come on in beyond just the door. Go into all the rooms and all the blessings and everything He's got. But we go in. You cannot enter into something that's not real to you. Somebody said, what do you mean real? Well, we're talking about revelation knowledge. We're talking about revelation knowledge. You remember back here again, I'm going to go back to what I was talking about, that whenever there is the reality of the Word dawns on you, there's a paradigm shift in your believing and in your thinking. Amen. You were trying to get the victory, and now you believe you already are victorious in Christ. That dawns on you. You know why people are praying for God to do something that He's already done? because it hasn't dawned on them yet. Sense knowledge dominates them more than revelation knowledge. I don't want to go to heaven and the Lord say, you know that thing that kept tripping you up? You were free from that. You were free from that. I already made you free from that. I know there's no bummers in heaven, but you want to say, bummer. I didn't realize that. I kept thinking I was bound. Amen. So that's the paradigm shift that has to happen. When I say paradigm shift, let me illustrate what a paradigm shift is. They have paradigm shifts in science sometimes and in different areas. The paradigm shift, let me give you one that's real old, everybody would understand. There was a paradigm shift in the realm of science whenever, because scientists for hundreds of years thought that the earth was flat. You know what I'm talking about? But then they discovered by a different means that, no, the earth is actually round. It's a ball. It's a globe, you know. Well, that changed everything. I mean, now we can't run up to the edge and fall off. You know? It changed everything. Hello? It's a paradigm shift. And from then on, whenever that happens, when further discovery is made, then what was commonly accepted as fact within that scientific community is no longer accepted as true. Amen. I once assumed that I was bound by poverty and would always be bound. But upon further research into redemption, I once assumed that I was kind of on my own in that area, and God, you know, He's not interested in these natural things, you know, and you know, you just get by on your own, however you can get by, and, you know, just by the sweat of your brow, and so forth and so on. I used to assume God, because that's the way I was taught, God's not interested in natural things like that. Well, He must be. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'll give you richly all things to enjoy. You must be interested in them. And so when I discovered that upon further research into redemption, I found the same language in the New Testament that Jesus, whenever He bore my, remember the Bible talks about He made Him to be sin for me, He knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. I found that same substitutionary language regarding finances. That He was made poor that I might be rich. Over there in 1 Corinthians 8. And I upon further research, I like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. A paradigm shift started happening. What I had once accepted as established fact, it seemed so real to me. It seemed like I was bound, but upon further understanding, light came. A paradigm shift came in my thinking and in my believing. And I realized not only am I redeemed from poverty, I am already rich. And I started thinking rich thoughts and speaking rich words. Are you one of those faith preachers? Well, what do you want, an unbelieving preacher? Hallelujah. And I've been rising up to that which I say and believe ever since. Why? Because my faith was the victory in that area. Jesus already delivered me, but I had to mix my faith with it. Hebrews 4 says that God spoke some things to Israel, but it didn't profit them because they didn't mix faith with it. We got to mix faith with what God's Word says. Well, I don't know why it doesn't work for me. Well, you're not mixing your faith with it. Well, I've just been bound all my life. It didn't say, if you've not been bound all your life, then you can be free from poverty. Down in Mexico, we ran into preachers down there when I was down there with Dr. Dufresne. They said, well, we don't preach prosperity because these people are poor. We don't preach tithing because these people are poor. That's a mentality, and that's unbelief. They're just as redeemed as Americans are redeemed. This is not an American gospel. This is not a white man's gospel. This is the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the whole gospel. Preach the gospel. Good news. Good news. What's the gospel? Good news. Somebody said, well, is prosperity part of good news? It must be. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He came. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the There's good news for the poor. What's the good news? You're redeemed from poverty. I just heard of another man recently in a foreign country, actually down in Mexico. He's got a large church, but he still works. There's a couple of reasons why, but one of them is because that they don't teach them to tithe. They don't teach them the word. They don't teach them the gospel. Well, it got quiet on that. Doesn't have to be that way. Praise the Lord. All right. So whenever the reality of the word dawns on you, the reality that I see, you can read it and not get it. Let's put it this way. We all can read it and not get it. We can quote it and not see it. Just quoting it doesn't make it faith. You know, a parrot can quote the word. You think he believes in his heart? What he's saying? By his strength, I am healed. He has no revelation of what he's talking about. No reality of what he's talking about. He's imitating syllables that he heard somebody say. Amen. No revelation, and he's not a faith parrot because he said that. Faith is of the heart, and he doesn't even have a heart. Some of you are looking at me funny. I'm talking about a spirit. He's not a spirit being. Hallelujah. But whenever revelation, which is how faith is born. Let's go back to 1 John. I saw something I had never seen before. I've read this for a long time, whatsoever is born of God, and I am born of God. And that's true. How many of you know that's true? Because he said whatsoever, not just one thing. Not just one thing, but whatever is born of God. But look at it closely. Whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So he's talking about faith that's born of God. Did you see that like I saw that? That's been one of my favorite verses for 30-some years, and I never saw that. You said, I saw it. Well, why didn't you tell me? You should have told me. Whatsoever. I'm a whatsoever. I'm a whosoever. I'm born of God. And through that new birth, I overcome the world. But don't miss. But see, notice specifically what he said. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Okay, what is this whatsoever specifically that you're talking about that overcomes the world? He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So faith that is born of God overcomes the world. Faith that is born of God overcomes the world. Oh, how much time you got this morning? Faith that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What he's saying is, faith that comes from God. Faith, whatever's born of God. Faith that is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes anything the enemy in his kingdom throws against it. Fear, doubt. You know, discouragement, unbelief, worry, all of that, and everything else. Whatever is born of God overcomes all that. He's saying that faith that is born of God, the faith that God gives. Remember on Wednesday night, two Wednesday nights ago now, I think it was, where we were talking about the God kind of faith. We were over in, remember, Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22 talks about have faith in God. And the Greek actually says have the faith of God, the God kind of faith, the faith that God gives. So what we know instantly from that verse is there's more than one kind of faith. The kind that is born of God is what overcomes the world. Somebody said, what other kinds are there? Well, you remember Thomas didn't see Jesus whenever he appeared to the other disciples, and Jesus came to him later. Well, let me back up. And Thomas said, whenever the disciples told him, we've seen the Lord, he said, well, unless I see, I won't believe. Jesus appeared and said, Thomas, remember, because Thomas said, I got to put my finger in his hand in that hole and put my hand in his side. And Jesus heard that. He wasn't there in the physical body that he had, the glorified physical body that he had, but Jesus heard it. Do you believe, even though Jesus isn't standing beside you in his physical body, maybe all the time, yet he hears what you say?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, when I pray, he hears. No, I'm not. Yeah, he hears you when you pray. I'm not just talking about what Thomas was not praying. He was talking to his friends, the disciples, saying, I won't believe that until I see it. Jesus in the spirit realm heard those words. How do you know it? Because when he appeared the next time and Thomas was there, first thing he said to Thomas was exactly what he had said to the disciples. Thomas, put your finger in my in the print. Put your hand in the side and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas saw the print in his hand and the sword mark in his side and said, my Lord and my God. Thomas, acknowledged now that he's raised from the dead. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Is that the kind of faith that is the God kind of faith? No. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. I know this is simple, but we got to go back over the simple things. Got to go back over the simple thing. When the Spirit of God breathes something into your spirit that he speaks to you about, you got to walk by faith in that. Sight will lie and tell you that's not true. But you got to walk by faith. Got to walk by faith. And whenever you walk by faith, you'll see it'll come to pass. But Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And he said, Jesus said back to him, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. That's the God kind of faith. But Thomas's faith, it saw. It didn't believe until it saw. It's a different kind of faith. What kind of faith is it? I guess it's the Thomas kind of faith. Really, all of us have it. We can all wait until we see to believe. I haven't seen Jesus in the flesh. I've seen him in visions, but in the flesh. But I believe him. I believe him. Hallelujah. I believe he's alive. I believe he's raised from the dead. He's Lord of all. And he's coming back again. And he is everything I need in this life. And so forth and so on. But here's the thing. Jesus said to Thomas, because you've seen, you've believed. Now here's a believing. Here's somebody believing, but not because they have the God kind of faith. They're believing because they see. And he did not get a wizzo button for having that kind of faith. He got corrected. Isn't that right? He said, Jesus said, don't be that way. And he's saying to you and me, don't be that way. Don't wait until you see to believe. That's not the kind of faith that's born of God. That's born of sense knowledge.
Yes.
Let me give you an illustration. We've heard people say things like this. Maybe not these exact words, but in a roundabout way, many times we've heard things like this. People, maybe they have a relative, or maybe a family member, a son or daughter, or husband, wife, somebody that's in the hospital, and they're really, concerned about them. It's a bad condition, and they're not very encouraged about the prognosis about them coming out of it. And the doctors will say, well, we do have a new medicine that's been working on this, and we're gonna use this new treatment of some kind of this new medicine, and the people will become greatly encouraged, and they will say, "Oh, we're back in faith again." They now see a bright future. They now see victory. They now have what they call hope. They now are more. They're more rested. They're not as anxious. They say, we're greatly encouraged, and now we're back in faith. Not the God kind. Did you get that? Not the God kind. What was that born of? Was it something God said? Then it's not born of God. And it will not give them victory. Listen. You listening this morning? I've had preaching on faith in my heart big time for the last few weeks. So we're just going to stick with it for a while. Stick with it for a while. Amen. That was not born of God. It was not born of something he said, something that was revealed to their spirits from the word of God. That was born of some a natural report. You following me? And people that, listen, what is under that and supporting it and holding it up is something in the natural. It's not based on the word. Therefore, it's not, it didn't spring from the word. It's not born of the word, which is God. Remember, in the beginning was the word, and the word's with God, and the word was God. That word, this word that you and I have on our lap or we're holding, that word is God.
Amen.
That's God. That's in the beginning was the word, and the word's with God, and the word was God. The written word reveals the living word. That's God. The living word is Jesus. Hallelujah. And when you have something supporting your faith in the natural, that faith was not born of God, and it's on dangerous ground. Because the devil can kick the crutches out from under that, and all of a sudden, plunk. You're down in the dumps because the bad report. Remember the book of Isaiah 53 starts out and says, who has believed our report?
Yeah. Yeah.
And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Yeah. The answer is the same person that believes the report is the one that gets the arm of the Lord revealed to them.
Yeah.
What is the arm of the Lord? That's the power of God. You want to see the power of God? Kick all the crutches out from under your faith. Kick all the crutches out from under your faith. Kick, well, the doctor said there's hope, and so we're encouraged. Kick that. Listen, that's supporting the wrong kind of faith. That's not going to give you the victory that overcomes the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith, real faith, has nothing under it but the word of God. It's not built on anything else. It's not built on somebody said we can do this. Somebody said they've got a treatment. Somebody said they're going to give me money. Somebody said, we receive all those things. I'm not saying don't receive treatment. Don't receive somebody saying they're going to give you. I'm not saying that. But listen, don't move that faith that was born from the word of God over on what somebody else said. They may have said it as a manifestation of you believing God. But that's not our cure. They're not our source. The word is our source. That's what our faith is built on. Nothing more, nothing less. And the word is enough. I said the word is, the word is enough. The word is enough. Hallelujah. So the faith that is born of God overcomes the world. Not the natural kind of human faith, but the faith that is born of God. Not the Thomas kind. You understand? Now, it's born of God. Let me say it this way before I say that. It's born. Notice here he said, chapter 5, 1 John, verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So the victory that we have is born of faith, and the faith we have is born of God. That blessed you like it blessed me. I was driving to the land the other morning, got up early, wanted to get some seed in the ground before we left, where I had to take a trip this week to get a visa for Nigeria trip. So I had to be out of town for Thursday. But before that, I saw some rain was coming. I wanted to get some seed in the ground. So I ran up there one morning, and I'm just praising the Lord and worshiping God. And that came up out of my spirit. You see, you want me to say that again? The victory that we have, the victory that we have is born of faith. And our faith is born of God. When I say born, I mean that's the genesis of it. That's the beginning of it. That's the source of it. The seed that produced it was God and His Word. Nothing else. Nothing else. If you look at me in the natural, you would see farm boy, grew up in a Mennonite home, farm boy, not much of an education, didn't like algebra, hardly could stand science, didn't understand why I needed to be in school. Amen. Never got a higher education in the not preaching against it. I'm just simply saying, I'm just talking about me. I never got a higher education beyond a, you know, high school diploma. And I've excelled way beyond most of my friends who went through all that.
Amen.
Not preaching against it. If, you know, God might lead somebody else to do that. And they need to do that. I understand. You know, you realize it's because of what I was called to. I wasn't called to be mental. I was called to be a preacher of faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just emphasize getting training in what I need. By the way, we're going to start a club here at Spirit of Faith. It's the GEM Aviation Department Club. And if you're interested, let Miss Teresa know. We're going to get together from time to time and start learning aviation. Not just anybody in the church, but anybody that has interest in this. And we're going to start learning all about aviation and especially about how to fly a Cessna 421. C. We're going to learn flight patterns. We're going to learn fuel consumption. We're going to learn how far it'll go on this fuel and how much weight it'll carry and how, you know, all this stuff. The cost of each trip. We're going to start, whenever we go on a trip, we're going to start calculating. Here's what in the Cessna 421, here's what that would have cost. Here's where we would have needed to come down to get fuel. Here's how much the fuel cost in that station. Here's how high we would have had to fly to get above the clouds. Here's where the storms would have been that day, and how do we go on around it? And we're gonna learn aviation.
Amen.
So there are things that I can learn because I'm gonna be a part of that. I want to actually get my private pilot license.
Amen.
Just because it's wisdom not to be up there without knowing how to do that. Amen. Other people fly, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've already got some things going. The Lord told me that if aviation's in phase three, then start acting like you're an aviator. Amen. So let Miss Teresa know. I'll get back from vacation and we'll start doing some things. But anyway, I can learn some things. I'm not preaching against education. That's what I'm saying. It's just that you don't need to be spending all your time getting all this head education that you won't ever need. I heard one time that there was a degree you could get on the history of German polka. I'm like, who's the fool that is going to make a living off the history of German polka? Why don't you learn something that's going to make you moolah? In other words, rather than being a broke, smart person, you know. Anyway. I don't know how I got in all that, but my point is that you don't need a large education. Just get an education in the areas that God deals with you about to be a great big success. But you can get a big education and not have success because it's born of God. Anything that's not born of God is on shaky ground. It might look like success temporarily, but it's on shaky ground. And it's the same as believing, well, you know, the doctors have a new treatment, and so we're really encouraged. We're back in faith. We're joyful again. We're not worried anymore. As soon as the devil kicks that out from under you, you're going right back down where you were. And I'd rather find something that's permanent. That gives me victory today and tomorrow. And whatever comes the day after that, I'm set. I'm set. I'm set. Because the word that I'm building my faith on doesn't change. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? And so if it's born of God and it is the victory, if your victory, the victory you have is born of faith and your faith is born of God, then how does God birth faith? He does it through revelation. You might say his word. Well, you can hear the word and not have any revelation of it. And you're not in faith. Revelation, listen to me, is also called light in the Bible. The entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. When light of the word strikes your spirit, I'm not saying your head, your spirit. Notice that word, the entrance of his word. Entrance, what does entrance mean? Oh, my goodness, it's already 8 till 12. My goodness. I'm having way, it should be illegal to have this much fun. A lot of people get arrested for having the fun I have. And it's all legal. Anyway, the entrance of his word gives light. Entrance. Say that word, entrance. That implies something inward. Going into something inward. The entrance of his word, it means going into the inward man. The word going into the inward man. You can hear it and mentally agree with it, and it didn't dawn upon your inner consciousness, and it's not real to you. When you walk away, you act the rest of the week as if it never even came to you. You know how you can tell you have revelation? It affects the way you act. You start acting as if it were so. You're not acting like it's so? You don't see it. You don't see it. It's not real to you. It hasn't entered. It's not a reality. Whenever revelation comes, the reality that's in that word dawns on you. And it goes with you. It's a new reality. And now you see yourself and your circumstances different than you saw before that reality dawned on you. Am I making any sense? And that reality is the substance of faith. Faith is the substance. Faith, the Amplified says, has the substance. That reality is the substance of faith. No revelation, no faith. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? When people are building their, you know, like I gave that illustration, people, it was one that the Lord gave me, that illustration where people say, well, the doctor said they have a new treatment, and so we're greatly encouraged, and we're back in faith, and so forth and so on. That is not built on the reality of God's word. It's built on the medication. And if the medication works, you're fine. If your medication doesn't work, you're not fine. But see, living that way, you are subject and open to the devil destroying you at any time he wants, because you're living not on what God said, you're living on something that the devil can kick out anytime. It's a dangerous way to live. That'll make you go up and down with circumstances, because your faith is not based on something eternal, it's based on something that's subject to change. That's why people are greatly encouraged and greatly depressed. Greatly encouraged and greatly depressed. It's not the God kind of faith. I'm preaching better than your amen. To have the God kind of faith, you have to have a God kind of word. Because the God kind of faith is born of God. And that word has to be revealed to you. It has to be real to you that Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. And that whenever I pray, I receive that by my faith. That has to be real. Receiving means present tense possession. So now that you possess it, you're in the arena of faith. Amen? I said, and you are the champion. You're not trying to get it. You have entered the arena of faith. You're not trying to get something. And now when Satan comes and says that's not so, you're defending, you're maintaining the ownership of I now have it. I now have it. Satan's trying to tell me I don't. I stay in the arena of say, I believe and I say, I have received. I have received. It's mine now. Not when I see it's mine. That's faith built on something. That's not faith born of God. People say, I see it. Listen, whenever you're in faith and the manifestation shows up, the manifestation is old news. That's yesterday's news. You already got the report that you're healed way back when you read and had revelation. Jesus bore this, and by faith I've received it. Everybody else that's shouting and dancing because they got the good report, you were shouting and dancing way back there at the revelation. At the revelation. That's faith that's born of God. Oh, I'm happy, 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 happy. So to have the God kind of faith, you have to have a God kind of word, a word from God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's put it this way. You got to hear from God. You got to hear God speak to you. Not just the preacher preached it. It can be real to me if I preach it and not real to you. But God, the Holy Spirit, has to take that word and breathe on it and make it real to you. And you and I have a role to play to cooperate with the Spirit of God in those things. It doesn't happen because you keep busy mentally. There is a reverent attitude of meditation and seeking truth that gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to enlighten your eyes to it. It takes time with Him, feeding on His Word. Of course, in services, we're doing that. You understand? But you have to hold fast that image that was burned on the inside of you through that reality, that image, that reality that was burned on the inside of your spirit through the Word. You got to hold that fast when you leave and say, no, I got it. And when the devil says, whenever the reality of that tries to fade, you can refresh it by going back to what produced it. Go back over what produced it, and it'll flame up again. The reality of it will dawn on you again. And you hold the enemy in that arena and hold it by speaking what you saw in the light and in the revelation. Hold him in that arena until it produces the results that you wanted to see. And it will produce. Someone said, I'm afraid it won't produce. How could it go down? It's God's word. It cannot go down. Can't go down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so the reason, like I said, let me back up. So to have the God kind of faith, you got to have the God kind of word, a word from God. And the reason is because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. But don't just think hearing out here, hearing down in here. You know, really, whenever you hear on the inside, you see it. Well, wait, Pastor, wait, we don't walk by sight now. Wait a minute, think about it. 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen or not seen. Do we look at something? Pastor, we don't look at what's seen. No, we look at what's not seen. So we are to look. We are to look. Remember we were talking about revelation, and that is that the eyes of your heart can be enlightened. You have eyes in your physical body, and you have eyes in your heart. And you can see things in here that you don't see yet out here. Whenever you see it in here, you're already enjoying it. You're already enjoying it. Hallelujah. I remember whenever Miss Vanessa got her house. She was standing for that house. There's a lot of things that she ain't going to get that house. But I could tell by her countenance. I could tell by the way she talked about it. She sees this. She sees this. So I knew I could join my faith with her because I knew she's in faith. It was as sure as more sure than the sun coming up tomorrow morning. Because she had it in her spirit. It's a reality. It's living. Some Christians are parroting words, but that's not going on the inside of them. They're hoping they can get there. They're hoping someday it'll happen. You know, when I mean, it's not a reality. It's not real. They haven't got a word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. The word word there is the Greek word rhema. It means the word breathed and spoken. It comes alive. The Holy Ghost breathes on it. Woo! Hallelujah! Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You can put your faith in natural things. You can put your faith in the economy, your job, the government, another person, a consistent paycheck, or many other things. But that's not the God kind of faith. Is it? Are we not appreciative of a good government or a good job or maybe somebody who comes through and is faithful or a good paycheck or something? No, we appreciate those things. But we have to stay weaned off of these natural things and stay weaned onto the Word. Those are all avenues. We believe God for avenues, but God is the source. Oh, that's got to become real to you. Brother Oral Roberts, actually Brother Richard Roberts said about Oral Roberts, we were talking to him at the table, and he made this statement. He said, my dad, maybe he said this one publicly. He said this one publicly. He said, my dad started preaching prosperity and seed faith, and he said the first principle of seed faith is God is our source. God is our source. Not a man, not what somebody says they'll give us, not what somebody says they'll do. God will move through those avenues. He's got to use something in the natural. However, don't start. Whenever somebody says, okay, I'm going to give you a raise, or I'm going to give, don't start putting your faith in that. Because that's misplaced faith. Your faith is in God, and God moved on that situation to produce it. But don't move your faith from God over to this. Because the devil will come along and go, boom, and knock the crutches out from underneath that. And then you're down in the dumps, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Where am I going to get the money? That's why people do this. Amen. The God kind of faith comes by hearing and believing a God kind of word. That's the power. That's the one that has the power to overcome the world. Hallelujah. 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 The message of faith that we preach is the message of a faith that's been weaned off of anything natural and is based only on what God said to you, a word from God. And can you say amen?
Amen?
Well, let me say this and we'll wrap this up. Whenever your faith is based on a revelation from God, your confession from that point on will take on possession. In other words, it's not a confession to try to get it. Your confession has possession in it. It'll always talk about what it has. It has. Other people look at you and say, no, you don't have it. And you go, no, I have inside information. See, revelation knowledge is what we're talking about. Inside information. And then when it shows up, they'll go, woohoo, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you go, old news, I told you. I told you. If you can hear into a realm that others can't hear in and see into a realm that others can't see in, you can have what others can't have. And it's not based on your education, the color of your skin. It's not based on which side of the tracks you were born on. When God gave you the measure of faith and gave you the word to feed it, that was God leveling the playing field. He's an equal opportunity God. Don't make excuses. Don't exclude yourself and make excuses and say, yeah, but. I don't want to. This is not yeah, but Spirit of Faith Family Church. Or yeah, but Family Church. This is Spirit of Faith Family Church. Spirit of Faith says, I don't care which side of the tracks I was born on. I don't care that mom and daddy were always poor. I have the blessing of Abraham. I have been made rich. I am rich. In other words, it has ownership in it. It has possession in it. Can you see what I'm talking about? There's possession in it. I said there's possession in your confession. Praise the Lord. What possession is present tense ownership of the things that you were previously attempting to receive from God. The battle, like I said, is not between sickness and health or God and the devil. It's between truth and lies. When it comes to fighting the good fight of faith, hold the devil in the arena of what has been revealed to you from the Word. That's the truth. That's the light of God's Word. Hold the devil in that. When he says something, answer him with what this has spoken to you. And the Bible said this light, the entrance of his Word gives light. This light, we also call revelation. This light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. Cannot. Not you never know, you never can tell. No, cannot. Well, I was overcome. Well, then you didn't shine the light. You didn't hold him in the arena of light. You let his lies and his deception and his darkness get in you, and you started accepting it. Say it out loud. The light. When it shines in the darkness. It's another way of saying whenever he lights my candle. Spirit of man's the candle of the Lord. When you light a candle, illumination, it illuminates the room. The light. Say it out loud. When the light shines in the darkness, and God illuminates my spirit with the light of the truth, of the revelation, of what he said in his word about me. The darkness, the devil, the trouble, this stuff I'm going through, cannot comprehend that. Comprehend doesn't just mean understand. If you look it up, it means overcome it. Cannot overpower that. Cannot stop that. There is a force that comes into your spirit when things are revealed to you that will push out demons. It'll break centuries and decades and generations of past experience that your family has always had. You've always been sickly as a family. You've always been broke as a family. You've always been bound. There's been mental illness in your family. This gospel can, that this light of this gospel can put a force inside of your spirit that changes generations of things. I'm not near as interested in my natural family tree as my spiritual family tree. Ye are of God, little children. Where's my heritage? I'm born of God. Born of God. Hallelujah. I'm born of God, and everything else that comes from God that's born of God is my victory. Woo-hoo-hoo. Praise the Lord. This is how you fight the good fight of faith. You hold the devil in this arena of what's been revealed to you from the Word. Amen. And the only weapon that the devil has in his bag is deception. That's the only way he can whoop you. He's defeated. Jesus whooped him. But he'll use deception. That's the only weapon he has in his bag. If he can make you think you have to get it, then he's deceived you and he's gotten the advantage over you. And you know what I'm talking about when I say get it? As long as you hold him in the arena of faith, you've got the upper hand on him. The Word of God has to prevail in you before it will prevail over the circumstances of your life. Remember, the Bible talks about so mightily grew the Word and prevailed. You want the Word to prevail? Anybody in here want the Word to prevail? It has to prevail in you first. There has to be that substance of the victory in you first. And you can hear in confessions different, some confessions are tingy. And some of them, they have substance to them.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to point out Vanessa, but I'm just using that one illustration. When she would speak about her house, it had substance to it. And when I heard that song, see, I listened for that substance. That's faith. When I heard that substance, I thought, she's got this on the inside. This isn't just parroting something she thinks I ought to hear. Because I'm a faith preacher and that's the way we talk, you know. No, this is coming out of something that got inside of her. Something, see, the light of the Word is that substance. And when that substance comes in, that's faith. I said, that's faith. I always have it on the inside before I have it on the outside. That's the way faith works. But I was saying, whenever she would speak, that substance was there. And I was talking about, let me read this again. That's how you fight the good fight of faith. As long as you hold the devil in that arena and in the word of God arena, that's how you'll prevail. But it has to prevail in you first. If God or the devil don't hear substance, God can't work for you and the devil will just run right over you. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? They're casting out devils in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They had no revelation of the authority of Jesus or the authority of the name of Jesus. It was a hand-me-down, second-hand revelation that they didn't realize what they were talking about. They were saying the same words, but it didn't have substance, and the devil ran right over them. Are you all out there? I'm almost done. But what I'm saying is you can hear substance. If I had, you know, you can buy the beans that you buy little cans of beans for your family, but you can buy these big cans of beans. And I could empty one, take the top off and empty one of them, turn it upside down, set it beside one that's full, and you could tell which one's full by just taking a spoon or something and going boom, boom, boom. And because one sounds different than the other. One sounds tingy. As soon as you hit on that, you're going, that's the empty one. And there's some people saying some things, but when the devil hits on them, he hears that tinginess, and he goes, ah. I got him whooped. When he hits on you, he needs to hear substance. There's something inside of them that I met whenever Jesus raised from the dead. I met that power. I met that. And he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. That's potent stuff right there. That's the victory that overcomes me. Stand to your feet. That's the victory that overcomes me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As soon as the word is more real to you than what you're seeing, and you're rejoicing because you have it on the inside. You know, when revelation goes off on the inside, it makes you laugh. Absolutely. The Bible says the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. When you see it, you go, oh, ha, 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 and you laugh. There's the substance. I'm not saying you're putting it on, ha, 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 ha. That's fine, too. Because sometimes you got to draw it up out of your spirit. But my point is, when that light comes, you will laugh. It becomes more real to you than the circumstances. And in that, if you hold the devil in that arena, you've got the upper hand. There's no such thing as him, you know, mastering you. Or he has to overcome the word. He has to overcome God to conquer you. To take you down, the word would have to go down. And it's not going down, honey. It is not going down. It is not. You're sure. You're set. You're safe. You know, we ought to start asking one another, rather than how you doing, we ought to start saying, how's your faith doing? And whenever people, you can hear that substance coming out of them, you go, oh, you're doing good then. I don't even have to ask how you're doing because your faith is doing good. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this word, when I'm preaching this, things are going off on the inside of some of your spirit. My spirit's like bubbling on the inside right now. Your head's sitting up there going, what? Listen to what your spirit's saying. Your spirit knows what I'm saying is the truth. Hallelujah. It's worth whatever effort you put forth to get whatever you're believing for on the inside of you. Get it on the inside of you. As soon as you get it on the inside of you, the natural coming to pass is a piece of cake.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's a piece. It's short. It's easy. It works.
Amen.
You might not understand that, but know that it's so.
Amen.
Put all your work into getting these things on the inside of you. Most people have lived with certain realities all their life that they don't even realize are not of God. They see themselves as sort of, you know, weak or, you know, not great in faith or, you know, broke, you know. And that reality has to change. Because, yeah, anyway, I don't want to start another subject. Let me say this. I was preaching this in Russia. I don't have the reference even in front of me, but there's the verse over there in Psalm. It says, thou wilt light my candle, O Lord. Thou wilt enlighten my darkness. Then he said, I'll run through a troop and leap over a wall. What's he talking about? Well, think about what a wall is. It's a limiter. A troop is going to, you can't go to the other side of that troop. They're going to fight you. But he said, whenever you light my candle, whenever the revelation of your word goes off on the inside of me, I can get past barriers.
Yes,
things that I've run up against and hit and bounced off of. I can't get past that. The answer to getting past that is what I'm preaching this morning. Whenever your candle is lit by revelation of the Word. It's not only a light, it is a fire. Like Jeremiah, fire shut up in my bones. It gives you a tenacity. It puts a look on your face. It says, I defy the devil. I defy generations of poverty in my house. It changes you on the inside. And it busts you past barriers. Like somebody said one time, this is not the first church of the flat faces. Running up against barriers and boom, come back with a flat nose. No, this is the first church. This is Spirit of Faith Family Church, where our candle is lit and we get past things that have limited us for our whole life. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's called victory! Victory born of faith. And from faith that is born of God. All things are possible to a man who has the faith that's born of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What I'm preaching this morning is kryptonite to the devil. It shuts him down like a... It just shuts him down. Shuts him down. It makes him powerless. You steamroll right over it. Hallelujah. 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 There ought to be some things going off on the inside of you. I see an area of my life here, an area here where there is an answer. I see the answer for it this morning. Hallelujah. You can quote it and not see it. But seeing it and having revelation of it is the genesis of faith.